Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The Olympics are on. What's your favourite event to watch? Anyone want to shout out? What's your favourite event to watch?
Gymnastics.
Excellent, thank you. Gymnastics. Anyone else?
Field hockey.
Field hockey. Excellent.
Swimming.
Which one?
Swimming.
Swimming, yep. There's lots, are there, and I'm sure others have favourite events. Today, mine's going to be the hurdles in track and field because it's coming up in the sermon. But I'm going to begin with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Bible. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to your people in your word and to the world in your word. We pray that you'll help your people understand your word. Help us to be comforted, convicted, and compelled to live how you want us to live through your word, by your grace. And we pray that you'll give us an understanding of the passage today that will be good for our souls, good for our minds, and make a difference in our lives. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is like a race. Whose team are you on? Which way are you running? That's what this passage is about. Mostly, which way are you running? So let's recap, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in Philippians. Paul, he's an apostle. He's in prison for preaching the gospel in Rome. We have some images courtesy of Dora, who was recently there. So thank you, Dora. So Dora took that one in a place called Mamertine Jail Prison in Rome. So it's still there. Also that one, probably changed a little bit since the first century. But you can walk around. And there's another one. And I don't know about you, but I think I can see some... Can you see some graffiti on the wall? There's a plaque there, but I think there's also graffiti on the wall. My Latin is not great, but I think it says something like, Paul Apostle was here, 61 AD. Yeah, so there it is. So yeah, there's proof. So Paul, very likely, because in the first century this was a religious prison, and this is where they kept their prisoners, so very likely he was here. He's definitely in Rome, but very likely this place. And he wrote a letter to the Christians in an area of Philippi, which is about 1,000 k's away. And he wrote about which way are you running the race as a believer? What is your direction? Are you running forwards or backwards? Some people would say, well, you know, I like to sit on the fence. But in Christianity, sitting on the fence is backwards. So which way are you running? So life is a race as a believer. And there's a couple of ways to run, again, forward and backwards. And I would like to illustrate this with a couple of volunteers. So who could volunteer for? Dora, thank you. Oh, Richard, yeah, thank you. It's like we had this pre-arranged, but thank you for volunteering. This is going to illustrate forward and backward. Now, remember, this is life is a race as a believer. This is not competitive. We, even though it's a race, we are there also to support each other as believers. So just remember that. But There's a couple of ways to run. You're either going to go forward to illustrate these two steps forward, one step back, or you're going to go backwards, one step forward, two steps back. And you ready, guys? Okay, so you're living life. You're in your 20s. Go. Okay, well done. Took a lot of practice. Yeah, you're living life, you're doing well, you're in your 40s, go. Jump 20 years. 60s, go. 80s, go. 80s, you're doing well. Now you're in your hundreds. We used to stop at 80s, but people are living longer, so now the new stopping is at the 100 mark. So you've made 100, go. Okay. I like how the entire life, Richard, your hands are in your pocket, so that was great. Well, sorry. That's funny. Okay, all right, thanks guys, you can sit down now. Okay, so you can see the illustration of moving forward and moving backwards. Okay, I've got a couple of clarifiers before we look at that in more detail. Firstly, running the race as a believer, I included a steps back. This is a reminder that life is full of trouble. And we all experience trouble in our lives. Sometimes we cause it. Sometimes other people cause it. Setbacks. So steps back are a part of life. The illustration I used was not about who's in Christ, who's out of Christ. It's for believers. And so it's about Christians in Christ. Even though there may be seasons of feeling like you're living backwards, you're still in Christ, you're still a believer, okay? No illustration is perfect. So ultimately God establishes the steps of man. And so this is just an illustration to help us try and understand the picture today. And also, clarifier, life is full of lessons, and God often uses, as Christians, the times in our lives when we feel like we're going backwards in life to teach us a lesson, and we can always change, okay? Clarifier, the goal today is to see that we are to live forward with Jesus. All right, let's go to the table. There are four parts, two backwards, two forwards. We'll start with the backwards. We'll start with what that looks like. Backwards living is focusing on what is behind. Focusing on the past. Now, experts say there's a place for the past. To think about the past. So the past can help you understand who you are, where you've come from. The past can help you solve problems in life, so you can learn from your mistakes. The past can help us to be more social. So in conversation you say to people, you remember when we, etc. We said, that's funny, yeah, that sort of thing. So it helps you to be more social. And the past can help you manage your emotions. So you can say, because of what's happened before, I've been there, done that, I know what to do, just calm down, let's go forward. So it can help you manage your emotions. But we're not talking about a healthy place today. Today I'm talking about overthinking the past, bogged down by the past, trapped by what's happened in the past. Churches are often stuck in the past. lot of churches are not, but it does happen. Churches are stuck in the past, and individual believers can also be stuck in the past. So you may be forgiven, but you think about the hurt I've caused. You're stuck on the hurt I've caused, or the people I have let down, or my sin, or my regrets. If only I had, you know, you're stuck in the past. Or you've done what you can to fix it, but at times you can't sleep. You get headaches. You're plagued by the past. It does happen. Believers, sometimes we focus on too much on what's behind us. The past. A little bit like a hurdles race. You're running along. Christian life, you're going well. You trip on a hurdle. Because life's a hurdle. So many hurdles in life. You've got to jump these hurdles. It's part of life. You trip on a hurdle and you stop. You can't go any further. You feel sorry for the hurdle. You're on the side of the track. Poor hurdle. I just cannot continue. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book to Philippians, if anyone had good reason to be stuck in the past, it was Paul. He was early in chapter 3, last time we were in chapter 3, we saw that he was a Pharisee. He put his, at one time, behind, in the past, he put his confidence in his flesh, in his ability to obey the rules, to obey the law. He persecuted the church. Paul, he murdered Christians. If anyone had good reason to be upset by the past, it was Paul. But in verse 13, he said these words, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And so we're going to look at that in a moment. But I just wanted to contrast that and first look at what it might look like to live backwards, because it does happen in the church. People are forgiven, but there's still certain things in their lives they just can't move forward from. It happens to all of us in different ways. So if anyone here feels trapped by what has happened in the past, you feel like at times you're running backwards. If only I had, well, you know, I can't believe I... Here's what you need to know. Your sins are forgiven. You are, as a Christian, be reminded, you are, like me, in Christ, a new creation. You are loved by God. You are accepted totally by God because of what Jesus has done. It's not about what you need to do to win his approval. You have his approval totally in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. And so we need to preach to ourselves, we need to remind ourselves that being stuck in the past is not what God wants. God wants me to move forward, to go for gold, to move forward in the Christian life. Okay, so if anyone's struggling with that, and we all do at times, we've got to preach to ourselves that who we are in Christ. All right, the second one that I wanted to look at was to live backwards is to have distracted eyes. Instead of eyes on the track, running the Christian race to the finish line, we have distracted eyes. So instead of eyes on the track, we have eyes on the field events. You know, the shot put, the javelin, the discus, long jumpers, that sort of thing. So in other words, to put this more in the Christian life, instead of eyes on Jesus, we have eyes on what people think of me. Or eyes on how much money I have in the bank. Or my inadequacies. distracted eyes on my limitations. This is the one I struggle with and have for years. I struggle with, I'd like to be able to do more, but I struggle with my limitations and my eyes are distracted at times, off running the race to my limitations. It happens. Distracted eyes. It happens to all of us. And Paul listed a few distractions to be careful of in from around the world that he was in at that time. And the distractions including those whose mind was on earthly things. He mentioned enemies of the cross. So affected by those enemies coming into the church and around about the enemies of the cross, the skeptics, those who rejected it, our eyes were on what they think. He said, beware of that to the Philippians. Or those whose God is their stomach. That was what he was dealing with. Distracted eyes. So off the race as a believer. And that is backwards living. So what do we do if we suffer from distracted eyes? What do we do? What? We pray. We say, please God, help me to have a godly perspective. Help me to learn what it means to value treasures in heaven, treasures with Jesus, than the treasures on earth. Please help me because I really struggle with this. We can pray, Lord, please help me from having distracted eyes. Because I don't want to be stepping backwards all the time as a believer. That's what we can do. All right, let's go to the forward. To live forward. To run forward. To press on. I'm sure you would have noticed that the phrase press on was mentioned a number of times, particularly in verses 12 to 16. Press on. Press on to where God has called me, to run the race, to the finish line, to win the prize, to know Jesus fully, to be with Jesus totally, now, right now, and forever, heavenward, upwards, forever, to lift my knees, to push through the pain barrier, to dodge the water bottles from the crowd or the enemies of the cross. Yes, it's a hard race. At times, you know, false teachers and the world about are going to offer cold beverages as a distraction. But to push through, yes, can be difficulty breathing at times because life is hard, but to push through, to press on. It's like a hurdles race again. There might be blisters. There might be stitches as we run this Christian race as a believer. Our shoelaces might be undone because of our own silly doing. But upwards and onwards we press on. Press on with Jesus. Are we there yet? No. We press on. There's no place for dragging our feet, no place for coasting. There is a finish line. It's grueling race. It's taxing. And like, you know, us, many, you know, your parents and others who are older, there are a lot of setbacks, a lot of difficulties in life, a lot of stepbacks. It can be a grueling race. But we don't quit the race. We don't stop. Sit on the side of the track. We press on, Paul is saying. We say, press on. We persevere. We persist. Our muscles are sore. At times it's an intense race. We feel exhausted. We've got no strength, but we press on. Someone might ask, why is it that some people find the race easier than others? I don't know. Some Christians find the race easier than others. They have an easier track to run. That's God's business. But what I do know, what Paul says, is we press on. Eyes fixed on Jesus. the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, I think sometimes we don't see ourselves as very athletic, and so it's hard to picture ourselves pressing on in a race when we hear about that image in the Bible. But we've got to get around that, because it's an image in the Bible about running the race as a Christian, pressing on. And sometimes that includes repentance, a change of direction, praying, realizing that we're trapped, and we're praying, Lord, please help me change direction from being stuck by distractions or by the past and pressing on. Because Paul made it clear, beware of the distractions in life. The distractions, back to the Olympics imagery, the distractions of the field events. And do you know what the biggest distraction in Sydney is to pressing on with Jesus? You probably know what it is. If you don't, let me tell you. It's, I'm too busy. People say like that all the time. Believers say, I'm too busy. And almost, and everybody has to reply, yeah, I understand, it's okay. If you step aside for a while, I'm too busy. It's not an excuse. We've got to make changes in our lives and make sure that we press on with Jesus and beware of the distractions. But here's the good news. Great news. And we need to hear this. That as we're running the race, we hit hurdles and some are higher than others. Let us remember that God gives us the strength to press on. We do not have the strength to press on ourselves. We need God to. We need to pray God. We need to lean on God, trust Him, and know that He is the one who gives us the strength to press on. He is the one who's holding our hand that we can continue and press on in a difficult race. Because we're not there yet. We have not arrived. But that is the goal, to press on, to hold on to that which Jesus has taken hold of on me. That's what how the mature think. Paul mentioned that in 15 and 16. If anyone doesn't know that, ask God to help you be clear about that. That is how the mature carry forward to press on. So Paul puts it this way. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So forgetting what is behind, that is the past, so not stuck in the past. And remember, Paul had every good reason to be stuck in the past, but he's not doing that. And straining toward, that's moving forward, what is ahead. And then to verse 14, I press on, that's moving forward, living life forward, running forward toward the goal to win the prize, the finish line forward, which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So that is now with Jesus to forever. That is what it looks like to live forwards, to press on. Okay, let's go to the last one today. Forward, instead of eyes distracted, it's eyes on our coaches and mentors. Now, in Christianity, Jesus is our captain and coach. He is our ultimate. But we've got to remember that as believers, that God's design is for us to also keep our eyes on our teammates, our coaches, and our mentors. And this matters because sometimes you'll come across believers who'll say something like, you know what, I don't need to be part of church. You know, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is all I need. I'm on my way. It doesn't work like that. God's design is that we watch and learn from other believers. Now, you guys are all right because you're here. But it does happen. You'll hear people say that. You know, I can be a Christian, I can be a believer, but I don't need to go to church. But that's not God's design. He wants us with each other. He wants us learning from each other. He wants us to be discipled by each other. He wants us to be coached. He wants people to watch us, to guide us, to encourage us, at times to correct us as a good coach. Even the best of Christians need a coach and a disciple and a mentor. Think about the Olympics. Even the best athletes on the planet at the Olympics have coaches to watch them, to guide them, to correct their stroke. Discipleship is pivotal. Every Christian needs a mentor, an example, a model to point us forward to where our ultimate destination is, citizenship in heaven, to the transformation of our lowly body that can't help but take step backs, some more than others, every now and then, to remind us that there's going to be a transformation of this lowly body to something glorious, a glorious future as we run forward. We need to keep our eyes on our coaches and mentors around about. And so for all of us, we need to think about who am I watching? Who is a godly influence in my life? Who can I look at to help inspire me? Am I listening? Am I teachable? Am I humble enough to listen? Who is my coach? Who is my mentor? Ultimately, Jesus is captain coach, but he has appointed people in the church to guide us as well. And all of us need to be humble enough to accept teaching from others and one another. And so Paul puts it this way. If you've got your Bibles open, have a look. Verse 17, he says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And so Paul refers to himself as a coach. And then he refers to keep your eyes on the others who live like we do. Beware the distracted eyes, field events, the shot putters who are trying to lead you astray from the race you're on. Keep your eyes on those who live like we do. That's the mindset. And so the goal is to live forward, run forward as a Christian, not backwards. Why? Someone might say, well, why should I bother? Well, there's verse 17, which I didn't show you, but I'm sure you looked in your Bible. And then why should I bother? Well, here's some good reasons. Other than the obvious reasons, which I'll jump back to in a moment, but here's some side benefits. Some more important than others, but here's a good reason why. When all things are equal, say age and health and everything, you will sleep better as a believer. You'll sleep better if, say, you're not stuck in the past, what's behind, you're pressing on, not distracted, knowing that God, you're in God's will, he's keeping you safe, you will sleep better if all things are equal, yeah? It affects your attitude. Somehow you find yourself more patient with people around, more forgiving of others when you're forward living. It leaves you more with a... This is from my experience, these additional points. It leaves you with a more settled feeling in life when you're running forward. So you've done your best with what God has given you. But you've chosen to trust God. It just leaves you less anxious about outcomes. Gives you that settled feeling. You know, don't we love that settled feeling? Everything's all right. And Philippians all about finding joy. Running forward helps with the joy. Now again, remember, steps back. We're not perfect. You know, everybody has ups and downs. That's a part of life, and we have some difficult people in our lives. We're not perfect, but when all things are equal, you're more likely to find that Christian joy when you're living for it. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you're stuck in the past, the hurdle's fallen, you're on the side of the track and you feel sorry for the hurdle, you're not going to have as much joy as some other Christian who gets up and continues running the race. Makes sense, doesn't it? And so it leaves you with more Christian joy. And ultimately, the big reason, God is God. It's what he commands. He wants his people running forward, and we just do it. Forward living. That's what God wants for his people. That's why we do it. And forward living is, as a reminder, to press on, to know Jesus, not to stop the race, not to quit the race, not to be distracted by the field events around about the world, Sydney, that we live in, but to press on with Jesus now and forever, as Paul was striving to do. With our eyes on the coaches and mentors, those who can inspire us, those we can learn from humbly and be teachable. You know, the Olympics are on at the moment, and there's an athlete who's competing at the Olympics. Her name is Sydney McLaughlin. She's a 400 metre women's hurdle runner, and she's not just a fast runner. She's the fastest who's ever lived in this event. She's the world record holder, and of course she's going for gold at the Olympics, and she should be running in the next few days. So watch out for her on TV. But she's also a Christian. She wrote a book recently. Now, I haven't read this book, but I did do some research and I got some quotes from the book. She wrote a book recently called Running for God. And in the book, she said a number of things, including some of the quotes that I got out of the book, she said that she would rather have Jesus in her life than to win a gold medal. And she also said, I didn't realise how much better my life and career would be if I just put my trust in him. But it wasn't always like that for her. In the book, she also mentioned about how much she struggled with over time in her life, how much, particularly as a younger person, she struggled with self-doubt, with fear and anxiety. And she also mentioned how much she was distracted by the other athletes around her and how successful they were and what their preparation and their meticulous preparation and what they ate and how she was so heavily distracted by junk food. And you know, as an athlete, she wrote, McDonald's hamburgers and chicken nuggets when she's an athlete. And she said, I tried to escape from my trials by chasing happiness in the things that were not benefiting me. And I found myself anxious and depressed, frustrated and lonely. And then eventually she came to a point, and this is all in a book, where she repented. She changed the direction. She returned to church and she began running the race for Jesus to the finish line. She began pressing on to know Jesus fully and to be with Jesus. She began pressing on, and she surrounded herself at church with again, this is all believers, this is all in the book. She surrounded herself with believers who could mentor her, who could help her, and the difference it has made in her life. A huge difference. And now she's a committed Christian and she's running for gold at the Olympics. Now, obviously, she's a heightened example of two steps forward, one step back. She's not perfect, but But she is still an example of two steps forward, one step back. But let me just close by saying this. There is someone where every step, well, there is someone, every step was always forward, no steps back. And we know who that was, Jesus. He never took a step back. He was always forward. And that is why we follow him. Jesus, he lived forward. We follow him ultimately. And so let's pray.